Atlantic.
Hi, Russell.
Hello, Russell.
Thanks for the invite, and it's a privilege to have the time to speak. Illness, in terms of the disease of addiction, in all aspects, physical, mental, emotional, energy and spiritual. I've experienced them all. I've experienced the madness of growing up as a child born into a madhouse. Had all the physical things, shelter, food, all of that. And the madness that went on inside that house related to the disease of addiction. And the majority of the madness came from the not addict, inflicted upon two small children from the time they were born till the time that she died. She was mad. And violent mentally, emotionally, and physically violent. So that's where I came from. And I had the belief that I didn't have the right to exist. And I didn't recognize that until 10 years into. At 10 years into recovery, I was in a really bad physical, mental, emotional state because I had re-entered the madness of the family home inside me. Been going to meetings, going to meetings that dealt with family issues. And then it hit at 10 years. And it hit big time. I was reduced to a person in the fetal position in the corner of a room. And I didn't know what was going on. Something happened in the workplace and it related to authority figures and it related to the behavior of one of the figures who was the boss of the center. It also involved theft of intellectual property, and various other things. I went under. And it took a lot of help to get out of the corner of that room and to be treated. And I'm talking 30 years ago. PTSD. PTSD was regarded at that time period as, well, it didn't exist because the armed forces were concerned and the connections into government were concerned. There could be some big payouts. And I was very fortunate to be treated through psychiatrist, through prayer, meditation, yoga, diet, and attention to how I got up each day and what I did each day as I went through the day and how I went to bed. I also became involved with a yoga ashram that wasn't far from where we lived. And I would go there, and I was a sick chook. And I would not venture out beyond the corner of the room where I took up residence in the ashram for the times that we were there. We just lived down the street. Those people were very kind. They were very caring. And they let me do what I needed to do. I was terrorized by forensic psychiatrists who were trying to ensure that my employer would not be in financial difficulties because of the insurance company. He worked for the insurance company. And I'm aware of what goes on, and I'm aware of the games that are played by insurance companies. Even though the employer had admitted fault for what occurred. So that's the mental illness process. I still utilize the yoga, the prayer, the meditation on a daily basis, and the way in which my routine occurs. I'm retired these days. I have been for many years. I think I've been retired for 19 years. And I still utilize today those processes in a different time frame because I don't have to get out of bed until I'm ready, and I don't have to go to bed until I'm ready. And in the last week, an incident has occurred where I was doing some work with someone, and they have threatened incredible physical harm upon me. I've been to the police over it. And I have a reasonable amount of disquiet or anxiety within myself at the moment. And my routines are essential to maintain my life, no matter what happens. And to stay in the moment. When the stuff comes up into my head about what's been threatened, of which I have no control of the threat, I need to observe it and not to engage with it with another thought. And it's a practice that I've used for some time, and at the moment I'm having to practice it regularly. These are the things that happen. These fellowships are not a hotbed of mental health. And unfortunately, I've struck a ripper. And that's how it is. So the practice of this program the practice of living the program is as essential today as it's ever been. I have lived a very privileged life. I don't mean privileged in terms of silver spoon or golden spoon in the mouth. I've lived a very privileged life because I've been living in recovery. And it requires discernment. It requires diligence. It requires consistency. It requires persistence in the good times and the bad times. No, there are no good times and there are no bad times. This program gives me the possibility of living in the unknown no matter what has been threatened. The possibility of living in the unknown in comfortability. I'm not particularly comfortable tonight. And detention. And that's okay. That's how it is. Observe it. Don't buy into it. Don't entertain the second thought. And that's how I get through in life. The process of coming to where I'm living now took 5 years. Mucking around with builders to build a purpose-built place for me and my health conditions. That's the physical health issues, which prevent me from going to face-to-face meetings. Haven't been to a face-to-face meeting for years. Have no intention of going near one. My immune system is an interesting conundrum. Things like sourcing soap. Sounds simple. Go down to the chemist and get some soap. No, it's not that simple. Go to the supermarket and get some soap. No, not that simple. It has taken me a month to source a possible substitute for the soap that I brought with me when I arrived in this country. Hopefully it'll arrive in the next couple of days and I won't have a reaction to it. I have had cupboards full of stuff that I have bought, used once, never to be used again, cupboard emptied by giving them away. That's the nature of my system. Some years ago now, it must be 6, 7 years ago, I finished up with an incurable cancer. I live with that daily. They reckon that's what's affected my immune system. And they said to me, we suspect that you have had this for a very long time. So it explains all sorts of things. I live with that daily. I live with the effects of the treatment that I've had daily. Simple things like going to the toilet are not that simple. Simple things like timing when I go out and go for a walk, because I don't have the control that other people have. Mixing of the medications to ameliorate the impact of chemotherapy is an art form. I don't know that I would have perfected it. I am able to live with it, to where that is no longer even a discomfort. People said to me, why don't you come down to the southwest where they live? It's beautiful down there. I said, well, I don't think it's going to happen. One, because I don't know how many toilet stops I'm going to have on the way. And there's not a lot of warning with these things. And two, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to breathe when I get down there. Because my breathing system is due to allergies and various other things that are related, apparently, they think, and skin problems and stuff that are related to the cancer. That's how they think I've had it for a very long time. I must be the oldest surviving, longest surviving person with this particular cancer. Each day is a gift. I've got tears in my eyes about that right now. This program has given me one day, this moment, that I, according to the medical profession, should not be. The glorious gift of this program, to live in the unknown. I am faced with the unknown every day. You know what? Everybody is. Life is unknown. This program gives me the capacity to live and enjoy life on a moment by moment basis. And this stuff that's been introduced into my life that I would rather not be there in the last days is there. The question is this. Can I continue to live in the unknown? As I said to a friend of mine, the other day, and we've known each other and done work with each other for many years. And he said to me, because the racial card was played as well, racial vilification because of my origins. He said, the ultimate answer is simple. Live a bloody good life. Live, not exist. Not exist in fear of what might happen. Live a bloody good life to the best of possible way I can with the situations that I have right now. What an incredibly beautiful statement from someone who knows me pretty well, very well. We've walked a few miles together. Still talking miles instead of kilometers. Funny about that. One day at a time. And this momentary episode that I had in the car park up the street when I was walking the four-legged mental health department, commonly known as the dog, he's known as the mental health department, because when something's going on, he senses it, and he comes and sits next to you, sits next to me or whoever it is, whether it's one of the kids, one of the adults. And what a privilege I have in terms of privileged life. I have grandchildren. How come I have grandchildren that want me around? One of the members I was talking today, there was a bit of chaos going here when they rang. We were talking to each other. Two-year-old, four-year-old running in there. What a joy! What a joy. These are the blessings of this program. Because I can tell you that my son could not sit in the same room as me for many years. Today, at his invitation, and his wife's, I live in a purpose-built unit at the back of their house. It's connected. And the kids come and go, and they come and go. And I'm going to have to cut short tonight from my attendance at the meeting. It's called Other Family Imperatives Going On Well Beyond My Control. And one of the beautiful things that happened today, my grandson's in here, my granddaughter's in here, they come and they go. And she did something and I said, out. She looked at me. I said, out. Pointed to the door and she went. Her father went out. Mother's down helping someone who's just had surgery down in the country. And I went in to check on the two-year-old to see what was going on. She stood up and she pointed at me and she said, you out! What a wonderful, inspiring moment. Have a little girl be able to say, okay, I don't like being told to get out. See how you like it. She did it. I went back in there later. She was busy feeding her face and having a good time. And the beautiful thing is that these kids don't carry grudges. When I was that old, I lived in absolute fear. These kids don't live in fear. These are the gifts, the intergenerational transfer gifts that are not occurring. The diseased behavior in the parents it's been dealt with as best as I know. And the kids are those recipients. And here I am, privileged to experience something I never thought was possible. To be, because of this program, and there's a family-based program I go to as well, which is where the threat has come from. Someone in there. The issue is this. All the world is strange, except for thee. And of me, I'm not sure. So don't point the finger. Do what I can do to have that ultimate thing of living life and enjoying it as best as possible in this moment. And this program is absolutely at the foundation every day. And when times are not easy, I have a collective of people, I'm not talking about 100, a collective of people that I have known, I have walked with, I have talked with, I have cried with, I have sat with, in all states of disrepair, of health, and experiences, and enjoyed company, been supported by them, not intruded upon, and been loved. And I still am loved. And I know it. That's the gifts of this program. To receive love. To go through the process of the death of the person that I loved, cherished, and adored. Who fell to bits in front of me with motor neurons. I was the primary carer. This program provided the basis for me to be the carer 24/7. And then to be able to say, to have the discernment, when I could no longer do it, be the carer. Have the discernment to say, I can no longer do this. And the higher power, God, the creator, the creative force, call it what you like, provided the artist who treated me. I rang him at the suggestion, somebody suggested, because the hospital system was acting up in relation to my IFC. And I rang him. I had his phone number. It must have been 10 or 15 years since I'd spoken to him. He answered the phone and he said, this is a Dr. So-and-so. How can I help you? This was at 10:30 at night. He listened. He said, so what would you like me to do? He gave me incredible direction, advice, based on his experience on how to handle hospital systems. And he said, it's simple. He said, a consultant psychiatrist is a member of the head wizards. And there's one thing hospital administrators do not play with, consulting psychiatrists. Anyway, after she died, I rang him. And he said, Dr. So-and-so here. How can I help you? I said, I've rung to thank you for the wisdom that you shared with me in a very difficult time. Wow. He couldn't shut up. He said, this is the first time in all the years I've been practicing that somebody rang and thanked me expressed gratitude for the wisdom I shared with them. This guy's a really humble guy. And he said, he just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I said, look, I've got to go now. I must have been on the phone for an hour and a half listening to him. And as I was about to go, he said, did I ever treat you? I can't remember who you are. And he never sent a bill. And he made himself available. So what I'm saying, I'm sharing this for a particular reason. There are some good medical practitioners out of there. There are some brilliant minds out there. I was blessed to have him. But when I say I've lived a blessed, privileged life, this latest thing is merely a blip in the road. Because I've got today. Because of this program. I don't carry on about higher powers and whatever and spiritual. Because to me, the program is about the unknown, living in the unknown, and spiritual is unknown, cannot be defined. It has to be experienced. And this program provides basis to experience the unknown, the spiritual. Even with bags of chemo hanging out of my arm for 2.5 years, 3 days a week, 3 days in every 3 weeks, I had the capacity because of this program to basically meditate through 2.5 years of treatment. Am I a grateful member? Yes. You don't have to believe it. I know it today. And it's just for today. Thank you for letting me share. Sorry I can't stay with you for the full meeting. I'll stay as long as I can because I really enjoy these meetings. I don't get to them very often. The reality is there are other things that take over. And they've got 2 legs, 4 legs, and they're little creatures, they're little people. And you know, this program has allowed me to address the fact that I was a time thief. I stole time from my children, from my son. I don't have multiple children. I had stepsons. I was a time thief because I wasn't present in the moment with what was. I was in the future or the past because of the disease. And this program treats that time thief, theft process, so it doesn't have to occur, so that I can have discernment of what to do and what not to do. The same as I had the discernment to go to the police, even when this other guy was going on about, don't you go to the police. I went straight away. We get discernment here to act in best interest. And we don't know the result. Thank you for letting me share.